CliffCentral.com.
That's right. And Yaku and his team are back today for more with Catalytic and Unbundled. It is a Tuesday morning on CliffCentral.com. It's just after 7. We've got lots of comments to get to, lots of emails to get to, lots of feedback that we have on various things. But also, coming up, This Is Us, which returns in 2022 today with Bonang Mohale, who is, of course, the big man at Business Unity South Africa and someone who we love to speak to. He's just written a book, which we actually brought up on the show last year when we had him on the Burning Platform. And he joins us again this morning to talk about all the big stuff that business is doing, how we can get together as a country, what we can do to make things better, and how we can make 2022 our year. So all of that is coming up in This Is Us a little bit later on. So first things first. Lebang's got some issues she wants to solve, and Bulelo has too. Bulelo wants to know, his mother is thinking of an open scholarship, and you're thinking, what degree should she pay for? Now, just explain what an open scholarship is so that we all know.
No, sorry, she's opening, so her and a friend are going to open a scholarship now.
Oh, for
so
some, that's happening. For someone
like,
who's
you're not thinking
right.
about, yeah, for someone who's not yeah. stupid like me, say. You know, you got to have like proper marks. And my mom doesn't play around with that. So she was just sort of shooting the breeze with me. What degree should I do, you know? So naturally, she'll lean to medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, no, that's boring. You should do physics. That's really hard. I tried it. That's who, you know, they're the smartest people I've ever met in academia.
What we need in this country, I mean, you know, you should never go by what the country needs, but there is more opportunity probably for engineers than anything else. So I'd say that's maybe an area she might want to focus on. But... If you choose to pay for anyone's education in South Africa, then please make it something in STEM, science, technology, engineering, mathematics. It's got to be one of those things. We do not need more lawyers. We do not need more liberal arts students. We do not need any more
political
science.
Oh, no BA subjects.
Yeah.
No, we made that very clear. There's no BA subjects. There must be people who actually try at university that have to go to lectures. So I said to her, no BA stuff. We can't be mucking around.
Well,
and giving it to a marketing student or something.
Coding, computer science, right? That's what we need. That would be something worthwhile.
I said physics or mathematics, you know. Those for me, if you can get people into that, they can do anything. Mm-hmm. If you can do that level of maths, like you said, engineering, you can really get into the mechatronics world.
Sure.
I just thought it's a pretty awesome thing that she's doing. But I think she's a little bit bored as well. You know, she thinks we don't need her anymore. She's getting that feeling. So she's putting her work into that, which is quite a cool thing, because I'm not really a selfless person like that. I would never think of giving a scholarship for money. I guess I don't have any. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe I must get some first. We'll see what kind of person I am.
Well, that's
so I thought mathematics, and you think engineering,
anything in science, maths, engineering. I and obviously tech, which is something that Ndogozo says here. She should do computer science as a scholarship to offer other people. I think that's great. You know, there are lots of people who are talking about like the trades, but I think we're talking about a degree here that she wants to pay for. We're not talking about the trades. But I do agree, what we really need. Lebang's having some internet issues, but here she is. Hey, Lebang. You're there. You can hear us.
Come in. Over. Can you hear me? Over.
Yeah,
come
we can hear you. There we go. She's back. She's back.
Back-ish.
Massive delays.
Hello?
Ah, there we are.
Yeah.
Oh. You know what? Kill your video, then usually your audio gets better. Try that. See if that works. Now, I don't even know why universities are still offering BA degrees, because they actually shouldn't. That's a kind of entrapment. I know that this is very controversial stuff, but you know, having been a BA student myself for a while, I can honestly tell you, that's the kind of thing you should do in your spare time. You shouldn't have to have a degree in that. It doesn't really count. I know I'm going to upset a lot of people by saying that, but, you know, I don't see those things are great for someone who wants to experience the world, learn some stuff, just have a good general knowledge, an understanding of kind of the values of a society and civilization and some of the more curious things that humans have done. Obviously, the languages and all of that stuff. It's good to study that. But it shouldn't be a degree that they can charge you thousands and thousands of rands for and make you have to pay back a you know, a huge amount of money through the first 5 years of work, because you're not going to be able to with a BA degree. So I think it's just in the long run not sustainable. That's my issue with it. And they used to joke that, you know, women in particular went to go and do BAs a long time ago, obviously, because this is very sexist and backward to say now. But they used to go there to just find husbands. That's kind of what that was all about. No, really.
That's very funny. You know? And not so untrue. Like, yeah. I don't know. See, I don't know. I'm offended by, like you say, BA subjects. I'm just like, what is going on there?
Yeah.
What do you mean you don't have to pitch up for lectures? It's crazy. So, well, that's not academic.
Tembis, I said to my daughter, choose anything, just not BA admin. Corona's Boring says maybe BAs should be given out as honorary degrees. You know, maybe that's it.
Yeah, then, I hear you.
And Fumo says, then there's BCom, there are BCom students like me. I never really know what to do with those BCom students, because there are also a lot of them that come out of the universities, you know, and I'm not sure where we can put all of them. I'm not sure what we can do to make them useful in an economy. Some of them obviously are useful. Some of them go on to do amazing things. And some of them just do that as a kind of a grounding in business or in commerce. And then they go on to establish their own business or whatever else it is. So it's not always in the degree that you prove that someone is worthy. But there's so many things that they let you study at university that really shouldn't be, you know, like drama. You shouldn't be able to study drama. You should just go and work in a theater and start off by moving heavy shit around the stage and eventually get a chance to dance or sing or act or whatever other pointless exercise it is that makes people want to do drama. I don't think it should be a degree, really. I mean, the fact that there are people learning to pretend, which is what acting is, for example, the fact that there are people who are learning to pretend on the same campus as there are people who are solving complex engineering problems is an insult to the engineers and a huge compliment that's undeserved for the people learning to pretend. I know this is, again, going to piss a lot of people off, but if your kid is studying literature or drama, you should have just kept them at home and let them read or let them pretend in the comfort of their home. You don't have to waste thousands of your hard-earned rands on that. It's pointless. You know, what's the difference, says David, between a BA and a pizza? A pizza can actually feed a family of four. Oh, exactly.
Really? I thought I'd heard them all. I thought I'd heard them all. That's very good.
Yeah, right. And then Robin Badger says, then I must have to deal with these BA idiots running wild on the street trying to get doctorates their whole life. Well, that's another thing. You know, if you end up in a university, you do your bachelor's degree, then you do a master's, you do a doctorate, and you do two or three doctorates, and you know, you get to the age of, I don't know, 78, and you've got all these degrees, but none of them are useful. Like, that to me is a major problem. Anyway.
It is an issue. The structure of academe, but it's because we're moving into ultimate, you know, permissiveness, where we still defer to people and go, the people know what they want. They've got no clue.
No.
Like, just force people to do maths early. And all kids should have to do mathematics. I don't care how you feel.
Maths should be just compulsory from all the way from the first year that you go to school until you finish education of whatever kind. You should have to do maths. I mean, I hated it for most of school, but then when I eventually got it, I was so grateful. And even though people go, oh, well, when last did you use calculus or trigonometry or geometry? Doesn't matter. It teaches you to think logically. It teaches you to think. It's processes. It's like if A equals B and C equals B, then A equals C. These are things that you don't get logic from people these days. They don't have common sense, and they weren't ever told how basically things work. And numbers are the best way to learn how things work, because it makes sense. And you could prove that it makes sense.
I stopped listening.
You know?
I stopped listening. When somebody says, oh, bro, I haven't used Pythagoras' theorem in 10 years, I say, okay, you're not for me, because let's not waste each other's time. Mm. This is not going to go well.
Yeah.
You've got no clue of thinking. You've got to think outside the box, is what I should say. Then they'll get it.
Well, Calif says, Calif Investes, and says, what's the first thing a BA graduate says after qualifying? Would you like some ketchup with your fries? And now don't go and give me examples of great people who have BA degrees. I know there are great people who have BA degrees. Obviously. That's not proving anything, though. Again, lack of logic. Just because there are amazing people who have got BA degrees doesn't mean the BA degrees made them amazing people. You know, just like you're going to find dumb mathematicians, you're going to find uninteresting, dreary, not particularly useful, and don't make a contribution type people in the sciences. You're going to find those people. You find the people who are so dreary and so boring, and they'll spend their lives in a lab and they'll never discover anything important. That's going to happen too. But that doesn't mean a science degree is worthless. And it also doesn't mean a BA is great just because some good people came out with BA degrees.
Yeah. No, if you took 10 doctors, or let's use maybe 1,000 doctors and 1,000 of any BA subject, guaranteed, you're going to have way more of the doctors that are able to do stuff than the BA people, and probably take the BA degree and do that better, by the way. Let's fix what you've messed up, because you don't know how to think. You just want to feel.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, these people who go into marketing, I mean, we deal with a lot of people in marketing, but a lot of them are really, really quite low functioning, I have to admit.
Yeah. No, they are. They are. I'm sorry. BA subjects are a joke. It is actually a waste of people's money. It's a complete and utter shambles.
Can you imagine if most of the universities heard this podcast this morning, they'd be incensed. There are lecturers who are doing triple somersaults at the moment. They're so angry. There are people who've just enrolled for their fourth year in an arts degree. And here we are rubbishing it. But you know what? If you get upset, you get upset. I can't look after you. Let's see. Lebang is back. Hey, Lebang. Can you hear us?
Hey, y'all.
There we go.
Can you guys hear me?
Much better. Oh, what the hell happened there?
I thought you were still in Mpumalanga because your internet was cutting so much.
No, like at a certain time in the morning when everybody starts to wake up in the house and everybody's devices are connected, I think there's like some sort of traffic. Yeah. Oh, no. Did I lose you again? Are you guys still there?
Mm-mm.
I think. Sorry, we started the router. I hope it works.
Okay, no, it's working fine now. It's going
pressing
well.
Them.
All right, so let's talk. Okay. You've got an issue you want to solve this morning. Everybody brings their issues here to the show. So you asked the question, why do we keep letting red flags get redder? So I need to understand what you mean.
I think we've lost Lebang again. She might actually be in Mpumalanga.
I'm telling you, she's in Mpumalanga. There's no way that internet in Joburg is this bad anywhere.
So you weren't here, Gareth, but Lebang is essentially emotionally blackmailing her current partner.
What?
To marry her.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's not literally blackmailing him, but she said, when we get married, you know, on the show, she just came on and she's like, yeah, when I marry into this family, I was like, whoa, what do you mean? Have you spoken to your partner about this? And she's like, no, it's just presumed. And I was like, okay, wild. Anyway, he lives, his family lives in Mpumalanga, where she was in the holidays. No electricity there. Went off during the show. So maybe she's living that
I'm
life
you, that's what's
now.
Still going
she's
on.
Maybe. Yeah. So that's tough. But on the red flag thing, I would imagine, and we'll see if we can get her back. But it's if you kind of see those types of characteristics in people early, and you know how people always are like, nah, I can change this person or whatever. I would imagine that's what it is. And then 2-3 years into the relationship, the heroin addict is still a heroin addict. And, you know, you've caught yourself up. You've not bought a house with them or whatever.
I see so many people who I know who either have just come out of a relationship. So they've just ended something. Maybe it was going on for a long time, maybe a short time. They come out of the relationship and then they immediately go into another one, which is usually a terrible sign. You know, you need to give yourself a bit of time to actually learn to be alone again. And people are not good at that. They want to fill the void. They don't want to be alone. They're so desperate to close the gap that they will immediately get into another relationship. And they've never actually spent enough time on their own so that they can be happy, so that they can make someone else happy. It's more about filling their need. And I can promise you now, if you can't be happy in your own, you'll never be happy with anyone. So you have to spend this time. I can tell you now, four of the people I know really well going through exactly the same thing, and they're doing the same dumb thing by getting straight back into another relationship. Unbelievable. You can't help people like
serial
that. You can say to them, hey, listen, and I mean, these are all smart people. I love them. They're friends of mine. You know, don't go and rush into this. Yeah. Of course. No, you're absolutely right. What do? They rush straight into it.
Because also, you know what I always think about relationships, and it doesn't have to be romantic, is that you have to give yourself the time to say, I might be the problem.
Mm.
Because nobody ever wants to do that. It's immediately, let me go and hide. Because some people hide in relationships, by the way. I know a lot of people who hide in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of taking that time to say, maybe I'm a prick. You know what I mean? Yeah. Is no, none of us are perfect. But what am I doing that I'm three relationships in a year? You know what I mean?
Go and work on yourself a little bit, you know? There's nothing wrong with that. Taking a bit of time to actually sort yourself out and work on yourself. That would be nice. And if people did that, perhaps they'd be happier. Because all you do is, so if you've got a, so you take a glass, right? And your glass is half full. And you think it's up to someone else to fill it all the way to the top. Then what you're essentially doing is you're borrowing half of that person's glass to fill up yours. And then you're depleting them, which is extremely selfish. And in the long run means that you're going to both be operating at a deficit. If, however, your glass is a lot fuller than half and that other person adds, let's say, 20%, 30% to your glass, but not more than that, and you can keep swapping that between each other so that both of your glasses always are more than 50%, then you're happy. I mean, you're certainly more happy than the average person, and you don't have to drop below 50 to fill some gap. It's just, to me, this stuff is so obvious, but people, you know, obviously when you're in it, you can't see it because you're making it all about you and you're thinking inwardly the whole time and you're not looking at it objectively and you're including your feelings and a whole bunch of other stuff. Anyway, it's just get over that because I do not understand it. Melissa says, I lost a friendship because I called my friend out on it. Literally months later, after a 5+ year relationship, she got engaged to another dude. Yeah. And listen, I do understand, like, if you're one of those people who is looking for a relationship right now, it's extremely hard. These days it is very difficult, especially post-corona. And I don't want to make excuses, but I think for a lot of people, it was already difficult before to find someone, to meet someone. But now all you have is online and people are just not honest online. They're not the same as they are in real life.
And you know what? We all paint people in a romantic ideal, especially when we want to convince them, hey, come stay with me. Let's call it a relationship. Is that the one thing we have to accept, or at least from what I've experienced in people? And you have to lock this in early. People don't change.
No.
Stop. So if you meet a girl at a club on a Sunday, mm-hmm. right, and then you expect her to be some introvert now and you're pissed off 3 months later,
right,
that's on you. You know, my old man used to have a saying, don't get upset at people, right, for who they are. Get upset at yourself for expecting them to be something different. You have no right to be upset at someone for who they you know, for being who they are. So people don't change. I can't tell people this enough. And you cannot change people. You cannot pull something out of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We are who we are.
Right.
Mia san mia, as they say.
The only person you can change is you. That's where there's a caveat to your rule. And Dogozo says, good relationships can make one feel good. Some people get out of one of those and spend all of their time trying to fill that void by jumping into the new relationships all the time. That's exactly what I was saying earlier.
100%.
Lolantle says, I still don't understand why would anyone get into a relationship? Why cause yourself so much trauma? Well, I mean, listen, in a good relationship, I mean, that's very cynical, but in a good relationship,
fatalistic, yeah.
In a good relationship, you add value to each other and everybody wins, but it's hard to get those and it's hard to keep those going. Anyway, all right, we got to leave it there because it's time for This Is Us. So I'm going to let Bulelo go. I'm going to welcome Yatish Nasi. Nice to see you, Yatish. How are you? Happy New Year,
hey,
if you're
nice
still allowed. Are you still allowed to say that?
Yeah, you're right. We're almost a month in, but I think February is the cutoff. I think
Absolutely.
As long as you're in Jan, you're okay.
And here is Lebang Hosana, and this, of course, means This Is Us, which is what we get up to on a Tuesday morning. It's our chance to look at ourselves in the mirror. We were just talking about relationships, but South Africa as a country, we also need to look ourselves in the mirror. We need to see all the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that is what we're here for. And this morning, we're also going to be joined by an esteemed guest, someone who we've had on the show before. He was on the Burning Platform with me not so long ago here on cliffcentral.com. But this is an opportunity to really bring a heavyweight guest in. And welcome to another Tuesday edition of This Is Us, the first installment of 2022. Every week, me, Lebang, and Yatish take some time to find some solutions in making South Africa great by chatting with an array of leaders who are always willing to give of themselves for the greater good. Today's guest is absolutely no exception to that. Professor Bonang Mohale is the Chancellor of the University of the Free State. He's a professor of practice at the Joburg Business School. He's also at the College of Business and Economics, the chairman of both the Bidvest Group Limited and SBV Services, president of Business Unity South Africa, and the former CEO of Business Leadership South Africa, past president of the Black Management Forum. Welcome, sir, to the show. It's always good to see you. Bonang Mohale, how are you, sir? Hang on. He's coming in and then he's going out. There he comes. This internet seems to be a thing. There we are. We can hear you loud and clear. How are you, Bonang? No, he's
disappeared. Yeah, something's up today.
Something's up with the internet. Hi, Bonang. How are you?
Very well. It says my internet connection is stable. I'm at Givits Kroon in Pretoria, so I'm hoping that you guys
can. We can. Keep it on like that, and then it should be fine. So we'll just hope you don't dip out too much, but that sounds and looks good. Bonang, it's great to have you on the show. There's so many things that we want to ask you this morning. Lebang and Yatish are here with me. Where do we begin? Lebang, do you want to start off with your questions for the first episode of This Is Us to Bonang Mohale?
Of course, I'm happy to do so. Morning, Bonang. Really excited to have you on the show this morning. As Gareth said, it's like the first installment of This Is Us that we're doing for the year. And after reading your book, Behold the Turtle, I guess my mind was just blown at so many different concepts and all the things that you covered, ultimately pertaining to just how we can make South Africa better. But the thing that stood out to me was the idea of living a life of purpose and meaning. It's a very common theme that you speak about quite often. But how would you say South Africans can strive to seek that in their daily lives? Because it's easy to say, but you know, having and living a life of purpose and meaning is something that we should ultimately all be doing. How would you say that that's something that we can get closer and closer towards as South Africans?
People are looking for, when they're looking for a job, unlike in our days when they were just and the motivation was money, they are choosing companies they want to work for. They are choosing the culture they want to work in. They are choosing the people they want to be surrounded with. And that, to me, is the very first of a life of purpose. Number two, it's about acknowledging that we are all beginning to die when we are silent about things that genuinely matter. Thirdly and lastly, a life of purpose, it's about saying, at a personal level, do I have some sort of a compelling vision? Am I courageous? And can I live with integrity? Lebang, thank you.
Wow. Those are pretty good guidelines. Those are, I think, very good pieces of advice for just about anyone in South Africa. But let's just talk about the country as a whole, Bonang. And in your view, how did we as a nation fail to actually achieve deeply felt reconciliation, patriotism, social cohesion, all of those things that the president was trying to say the ANC are trying to do now, which I don't think anyone believes him when he says that now. But 27 years on, how did we screw this up? Because we had everything organized. We had everything sorted out around us. We had all the goodwill in the world. We had people who came together. We had leadership we could look up to at that stage. Where did we screw it up?
Number one, I think the word is called greed. By the people who call themselves our leaders. It manifests as state capture, as demonstrated by the Chief Justice Raymond Zondo's report number one of three, right, into state capture. I think more than anything else, when you understand that people are not happy to be just financially independent and secure, they want to be the first black zillionaire, then you'll understand what really drives them. There are four things that drive state, because state capture is much more than corruption. One, it's about creating a shadow where the decision making is no longer in cabinet and in the national assembly. Number two, it's about repurposing the more than 740 state-owned enterprises and state-owned and replacing them with better what they're doing. And you replace them with people whose only claim to fame is aiding and abetting state capture. Lastly, of course, you're not happy stealing the money. Now you want to go to the fire hydrant and drink from there. You want to capture national treasury because it owns two institutions. It owns the biggest asset manager in the continent, the PIC 2010, 2 trillion South African rand assets under management. Thanks.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, you talk about instead of just drinking from the tap, you go to the fire hydrant. And people do, they just get they get greedy, you know? And I think that's a very a hard thing for us to actually face up to, is that there are people, and I don't think it's a South African quality necessarily, because you see greed all over the world. But that greed has just led us in such a dangerous direction. And Yatish, I know that for you and for many people in business in South Africa and in every industry, you know, Bonang is one of those people who just speaks through all the clutter and he's able to address these things head on. He's very credible. People love hearing from him. What are your main takeouts? And I don't know if you've read his book yet, the book that that we were just talking about a moment ago. But if you have, I mean, what do you think is missing when it comes to people speaking like Bonang do? And why can't more of us have the courage of our convictions and speak out like he does?
Yeah, I mean, I think I haven't read the book, to be honest, Bonang. It's certainly on the list of starting books of the year. Mm-hmm. But just from the sort of notes that have been passed around this week, just in terms of getting up to speed with some of the core concepts of the book, I think, you know, the thing, Bonang, that we've often spoken about here is a lot of the things you've just mentioned around state capture, around, you know, sort of what's happening with the treasury and our political system, et cetera. You know, one of the things we've really tried to think about at This Is Us is we've said at a certain layer, it's really hard for people to affect that, right? I mean, there's the political process, which, again, we had a debate that people don't understand it well enough. But outside the political process, in your day to day, I think most South Africans feel quite helpless to all of those kind of forces going on. They feel like, I can't really make an impact. I can't really do anything. We're like kind of victims of really poor leadership. And I guess, you know, where we've been thinking about it is to go, you know, but on outside of the political system, outside of that poor leadership, how does the average South African in their daily goings on create the momentum and show and demonstrate the leadership that's required? Because I don't think we're going to get it from there. I think let's resign ourselves to that fact.
Yeah.
So how does business show a greater sense of leadership? Because I think, you know, there's a void there and a gap there. And then how do average South Africans show their distrust and their disdain in a positive way, right? How do they use that energy to do the right things?
So Yatish, let's puncture some inflated fallacies. It's not useful to say, but the rest of the world is corrupt, it also steals. Development, 48 years of apartheid. The only way as a people that we can have the moral high ground, that Kgolisahla Nelson Mandela can continue to be the icon that he is. And then lastly, that Kgolisahla Nelson Mandela's dream, the South Africa that all of us have been dreaming and praying for, we should hold them to higher standards, unequivocally, unashamedly.
I think we keep losing Bonang. It's like the worst internet connection. Trying to figure
out. Yeah, today.
Yeah, it's not great. And Lebang was having trouble earlier as well. So anyway, I mean, when we get him back,
More than anything else. Therefore, if politics determines economics, it means the people who are our political leaders must help us to improve the quality of lives of the majority of our people. Every election, the ANC says, a better life for all. Actually, in real sense, 27 years into democracy, the rich have become richer, the poor have become much poorer. Mm-hmm. And I think let's just accept that. So how do we effect that at a personal level? Number one is to realize that the reason why we say our constitution is the best in the world It's contained in the preamble of our constitution. It starts by also says recognizing the injustices. It then implores and mandates you and I to fix these past injustices. Lastly,
seems like we lost him. All right, this is very frustrating. I wanted to talk to him specifically because he has so many solutions in his book when it comes to like practical stuff we can do, especially around education. And you know, Bonang talks about higher learning, so tertiary institutions, secondary institutions, what we can do there. And obviously, we hold the world record, he mentioned it just now, for being the most unequal country in the world. That's the Gini coefficient, famously. So, you know, this is where we need leadership, and this is also where we need to be able to hear from the people who are brave enough to say what they are saying in the case of Bonang Mohale. Bonang, we're going to try and get you back on there. I don't know, your internet seems to be very patchy on your side.
Yeah, I blame Kivit Skroon. Is this better now?
So it seems like it, but you dip in and out from time to time. So I wanted to ask you quickly.
Yeah, for which I profusely apologize.
So let me just share
some good news before we lose each other permanently.
Mm-hmm.
So the good news, and again, it goes to Itashi's point, is that, you know, when all of us have fought hard and we have forced these politicians to deliver basic services to us, mm-hmm. look at the things that we are able to achieve. SAA now is semi-privatized.
Yeah.
Number two, municipalities can procure electricity from sources other than Eskom.
Right.
Number three, even private companies can self-generate their own electricity up to 100 megawatts. And then lastly, Devonport is the third from the bottom, but now Transnet accepts that through public-private partnerships is the only way that we can fix it.
Right.
But some of these things that are going wrong, Yitash, that we need to fix. Number one is to ensure that we narrow this growing inequality. Two, racism is at an all-time high. At a personal level, we should stop being racist.
Absolutely. I don't think anyone's going to disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
On his back.
The power. Number two, when you inherently believe that you are superior. And number three, you use that power to exclude. Then you call you a racist.
Yeah.
Number three things that we need to, you know, public education has collapsed. Four, that public health continue to fail the poor and the vulnerable. Number five, that crucial infrastructure is lying in decay. Mm. I mean, we used to have trains. Now the stations are under. Mm. Lastly, lawlessness has now become an epidemic. Sislibang?
Yeah, Lebang, I know you got some questions. Can I just quickly jump in on the education thing, Bonang, because this is something you write about in your book too. What can we do to improve education? You just mentioned public education has failed completely. So what can parents do to make sure that their kids have the best chance in a country where we can't rely on public education?
And to add to
you
that
know
as well,
a government, yes, you know what, go ahead, Itashi.
Sorry, I was saying, just to add to that, there was a comment in the group which I think is important in terms of this question around education. It's Michael who says, our leaders of today are children who suffered in poverty. These children are imprinted with this condition and become adults without being able to cope emotionally. So it manifests as greed. And I think that's quite important rolled into education. I mean, if you look at, even if you take what happens with like Brazilian football players, right, and how they completely sort of hit a wall through their career because they actually don't have the grounding to deal with or the educational base to deal with that position of leadership when they get there. You know, so the education problem is vital because arguably it's what's also creating the leadership gap later on. You know, we're never going to get great leaders if we can't sort out the base.
You know, let me combine your two comments because they are so profound. You know, poverty still has primarily a black and feminine face. 27 years into democracy, that should not be acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, all of in eradicating the legacy of apartheid. Lastly, in education, where government fails, that's where one, post offices are failing, couriers are born.
Mm-hmm.
Private security thrives because SAPS is not very useful.
Yeah.
Discovery Medical Aid is the best is private healthcare, because when you go to public healthcare, that's where you go to die. Lastly, I think at an individual level, as parents, let's just make sure that we work hard, we make those sacrifices, because progress is when our children have a life which on a composite basis is substantially better than the one that we lead. Lebang?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. I think another thing that kind of stuck out for me in the book, and we spoke a little bit about this earlier, is about some terms that a lot of our leaders will just use to, you know, sort of shy away from the real issue. And something that you cover in your book is the concept of the new normal versus the better normal. And I think post COVID-19, with all the effects of what happened and the pandemic really just shaking the world up, how can we, you know, use the better normal, the better tomorrow? I hope I was heard.
I think we got most of
it. So the notion of a better normal, if you can hear me,
yes,
Meliban, because you hit the nail on the head. It's about accepting that there were three things that we wanted to deal with when we were hit by this pandemic. One, of course, is save lives. Number two is save livelihoods, because we knew we will kill 10 times more people because of hunger and starvation killed by the virus. Lastly, we wanted to break the link between coronavirus cases. And the only way you can do that is through vaccinations, because 98% of the people that are hospitalized are those that are not vaccinated. But you see, where we are, we need to accept that the target that we were set by.
Yeah, guys, I'm getting a bunch of messages here about just how frustrating this is, because we want to hear, we're desperate to hear what, you know, what Bonang is saying here, but the connection is really bad. I'm going to call this short, because otherwise we're going to frustrate and drive people crazy. But I do think there's some excellent comments that are being made here. Bonang, I thank you so much. I'm going to see if I can bring you back just to thank you here. But it's a pleasure to have you on. I'm sorry the internet connection's so bad that we couldn't hear everything that you were trying to tell us. And you are one of those people we look to as a wise sage. I would encourage people, if you were frustrated by the connection this morning, to at least read the amazing book that Bonang has written, and we'll give you all the details for that on the site. So we'll put that on cliffcentral.com. But thank you very much, Bonang Mohale. I'm sorry we have to call it short this morning, but this is very frustrating.
Cliff, my brother, I promise to come person in the studio when it is safer to do so.
We will arrange that. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Please.
Thank you.
Bonang Mohale. All right. Listen, guys, I'm sorry. This is too annoying. I mean, you know, we got people saying here, listen, it's just frustrating as hell. Connection is really terrible. It's impossible to hear what he's saying. So let's just leave it for this morning. That is This Is Us. I'm sorry. For our first episode, we tried to get you a great guest. We did. Unfortunately, the internet has not played games and not played ball with us this morning. So we're going to call it quits at this point. That is the first episode, but not the last, of This Is Us. We'll pick it up in conversation next week, Tuesday. Make sure you join us for a whole lot more. Cheers, everybody. See you tomorrow, 6 o'clock.
Bye.
Cheers, everyone. CliffCentral.com.